Amen. It's truly good to be able to get up on this morning, to have the activity of our limbs and to be in our right minds, to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth. There are a lot of things that we look at in this life, and as we look at them, we consider what we can get from them. Nothing like having benefits. Nothing like having benefits. There are benefits in a lot of different things that we do that we can gain on our jobs. Again, it depends upon the company that we're working for as far as the benefits that we have. Some of them include health insurance, dental insurance, vision care, life insurance, paid vacation leave, personal leave, sick leave, child care, a fitness program, a retirement plan, and there are other benefits as well that some jobs offer. And if your job offers any or all of those benefits, you're doing good. You're doing good. Brother Mark, you're doing good. It offers some of them. Brother Roland, you're doing good. Some of them. Brother Colbert, I'm sorry for your luck there, my friend. I know Brother Colbert, and I know his job don't offer any of those. And there are jobs like that. But I want you to understand that there's nothing like having benefits. And for us to just look at a benefit package plan and deny all that is there, we have a problem. And the problem is that we're going to get sick, Brother Mark. We're going to need some type of insurance from time to time. We're going to have a toothache where this toothache causes us to go to the dentist and we need that dental plan. And some of us have a vision plan, but we fail to use it. And we need to start using it. There's a lot of things. Now, we say that we need to put up for a rainy day, and the preacher Solomon teaches that. That you are doing this and you're doing that, but make sure that you remember that it's going to rain, and you're going to need those funds. Those of us that work outside, cold weather, we don't want to be out there. Rainy weather, we don't want to be out there. And some jobs will not have you out there. And so you have to say, when the money's making that money is good, you make all that you can, but as you're making it, you're putting some aside for a rainy day. That's a benefit. That's a benefit. We need to understand that Jesus came to this earth in order to give his life, in order for us to reap the benefits in which he has given to us, according to Galatians chapter 3 and the verse 27. As many of us have put on Christ, have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. You put him on in order for you to gain a benefit. To gain a benefit. And we're going to talk about some of those on this morning. We went to the book of Romans chapter 6 and the verses 3, looking at just as Christ died, we too must die. We must give up this old man and we must put on the new man. And that's a benefit. To be able to put something away and not having to worry about going and picking it back up and putting it on. We put it away and we keep moving forward. That's what it's all about when we put Christ on. Are we going to forget about our past lives? I want you to know the answer is no. We're going to remember, and we need to remember what we did in the past, those mistakes that we made, so that we don't make them anymore. That's a benefit. That we don't have to make those mistakes anymore. And God is pleased with what we're doing. We need to listen to that. And we need to understand that God does not want us to go back into our old ways. But he wants us to move forward. He wants us to move forward. So there again, Romans chapter 6 and the verses 3. Romans chapter 6 and the verses 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Baptized into his death. So we think about, why did he come to this earth? Why did he have to die? In order that you and I may be able to live. That's a benefit.
What's the alternative of living?
It's dead. You know, some are getting older and older, and I was talking to the brother and sister this morning whose mom just turned 90. He's here for her 90th birthday. I didn't ask her when exactly the birthday was, so I had to change that just a little bit. But he's here to celebrate her 90th birthday. Amen. That's a benefit. Amen. To be able to celebrate with someone that has lived 90 years. It's a long time. We go back and we look at what did we do in the past. Those of us that are mid-age, those of us that are a little bit older than mid-age, those of us that are young, what have we done in the past that we can look back on and say, I'm glad I did those things, whether it was right or whether it's wrong. And if it was wrong, you learn from those things. And if it was right, you continue to do those things. That's a benefit, to have your mind to think about those things. But as we look at this sermon on this morning, I want us to understand again that there's nothing like having benefits in Christ.
Amen.
There's nothing like having benefits in Christ. You know, as I was preparing this lesson, I was looking at it and I was thinking about it. And, you know, we talk about spiritual blessings and we talk about them all the time. But I want us to realize that as we look at this, and we talk about it and we think about what is going on. And I'm going to list some things real quick for you as we get into the lesson that we're going to look at what's in Christ and not out of Christ. Because outside, you're lost with no hope. You're lost with no hope. And being lost with no hope, understand it that there's no spiritual blessings. There's not one spiritual blessing out there in the world, not one. If you can name one, please tell me what is good about being out there in the world. There's no redemption. We're going to look at a scripture that says that there is redemption in Christ. There's no forgiveness of sins. There is condemnation out there. The old sinful man outside of Christ. You're carrying him everywhere you go, and you're showing that in your life. There's some say, well, I don't do those bad things anymore. What have you done in order that you don't do them anymore? Let's say you're that person that liked to play in the mud. And you played in the mud for a long time, and every time you play in the mud, you take your clothes off, and you take them, and you just throw them in your room. And you know what we say when we see those clothes? We don't say, Why are your clothes just dried up dirt? We don't say that, do we? We say, why are your clothes muddy? Why are your clothes, it may be dry, but you still say, why are your clothes muddy? And the thing is this, as long as those clothes are laying there and have not been put in the wash, those clothes are still dirty. They're still dirty. And so we have to think about the old man. If you have not had that old man washed away, you're still dirty. You're still filled with sin. So we need to think about, and there's no salvation outside of Christ.
Amen.
No salvation outside of Christ. And being outside of Christ, the Bible teaches us in Revelation chapter 21, the unbeliever is the one that's outside of Christ. There's no eternal life in heaven. Now, how many of us want to go to heaven? And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand like I did this morning. Brother Martin, you wasn't in class, but I asked a question this morning, and we had some crocodile people out there, some alligator people out there, and they raised their hand like this. But I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand about how many of you want to go to heaven. Y'all know who you were, but after I asked it again, you know that question, everybody raised their hand high. But in your minds right now, how many of us want to go to heaven? I would venture to say there's not one person that's sitting amongst us that understands that heaven is a glorious place, that heaven is a place where our God resides. There's not one person that is going to say, I don't want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to heaven. And if you are that person, you need to think, why do you not want to go to heaven? Now, I was over in Korea back in the year of 1989 and 90, and there was a man there that was a satanic worshiper. And I had an opportunity to talk to him, and his book that he studied referred him back to the Bible. Now, I want you to understand that a satanic worshiper is one that understands, because he refers back to the Bible and he believes in the Bible, he understands that Satan and his angels would not get into heaven.
I was trying my very best to convince him. I wasn't a Christian at that time, so I should have been trying to convince myself. But I was trying to convince him that serving the devil is wrong. Serving the devil is wrong. And so when we look at the Bible and we understand what we need to do those things. We need to do them, and we need to do them because God is pleased with that. Let me rephrase that. I was a Christian at that time, but I really didn't understand a whole lot. I was a new convert. I was a babe in Christ. I was still doing some things that I should not be doing, and it wasn't wrong things per se, but it was wrong. I wasn't out there running the streets. I wasn't out there drinking. I wasn't out there fighting and doing all those other things, but I was doing some things that are wrong because the Bible teaches us that you may honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. I didn't really understand how to worship God at that time, but I learned my lesson. And I said, if I learn it, Lord, because I had to go back to Korea a second time and do it over, I said, if I learn my lesson now, I'm going to sure enough try to learn it because I don't ever want to go back to Korea again. Now, I may go back on a quick trip, but not to spend 365 days. There's a benefit in Christ by knowing what we need to do, and we need to do those things. So let's look at some of them. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1 into verses 3. I want us to understand that when we start talking about spiritual blessings, that these things, again, they are spiritual. They are spiritual. The world receives benefits of being alive every day. They receive a blessing of being able to breathe the air that God has given us. They have food to eat. They have a place to sleep. And I tell people all the time, and because it has been told to me, that the man that's in prison, he is blessed. He has three meals a day. He has a place to sleep. He has clothes that are clean if he so desires to wash them. And a lot of times, they are not going to let them run around with dirty clothes on. I go and visit my brother from time to time who's in prison. And a lot of those guys in there, you know, they're white uniforms, and that's what they wear in the prisons where he is, white. They are starched. They're looking good. They're clean. And don't step on their shoes by no means. A man told me one time, he said, you know, I know your brother. He's in prison and he gets respect. Someone stepped on his shoes one time and he went off on them. He said he gets respect. He keeps his shoes shined. He keeps his uniform or his outfit pressed. There's a benefit in being there, I guess. And some people like it there, so they go back when they get out. I suppose he liked it there because he's been three times and he's still there today. But I want you to understand, he's looking good where he is right now. Looking good. So it must be, he must be there for a reason. I really hope that he understands and that he learns why he's there and he makes a change before it is too late. But all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Now look, he's writing this letter to the church of Ephesus. And he says something there. He says, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. You know, you hear me say from time to time, if you don't want to go to heaven, then you can get up and leave. You know, I say things like that from time to time. You know what Paul was telling some of the listeners to his letter right here in the introduction? He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus. Everybody's like, that's to me. He's talking to me. But then he says, and are faithful in Christ Jesus. You know what some of them had to say? He's not talking to me anymore because I'm not faithful. I'm not doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing. And that's like us sometimes. We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. So God is not talking to us. Amen. And then we are doing what we're supposed to be doing. So God is talking to us. And he says there in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Every spiritual blessing. So where are our spiritual blessings? Are they in Christ or are they out of Christ? They're in Christ. If you believe in God's word, that's what it says. So that's what we're going to believe. They're in Christ. All spiritual blessings are in heavenly places. If our spiritual blessings are in heavenly places, what do we have to look forward to?
being in heaven so that we can benefit from them. You know, a benefit sometimes you don't get. And I know I listed a lot of them right there that you get while you're living or while you're working. But there are some benefits that we get when we don't work. That 401k plan. If we put it there, we put money in there, and we don't use it until we retire, that's a benefit. But sometimes we have to dip into it before we retire. And then after you retire, you don't have anything to look forward to. You know, there are some people that work until they die. You know, they're at retirement age, but they keep working and keep working. The reason they keep working is because they have no benefits. There are some people, when they quit working, the next thing you know, they're dead. Why? Because that's all they ever known was to work, was to work. And they don't have anything to fall back on. So once they retire, they don't just retire from that job, but they retire from this earth, this world. But I want us to know that if we retire from this world, and the last thing I talked about there, that you do not have if you're not in Christ, is to be able to spend eternity in heaven. If you die without Christ, what benefit is it? What benefit is it? All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption. We have redemption. And I want us to understand that when we look at this, it says we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. The riches of his grace. God is willing to give each one of us grace. Richly. But what are we to do? How are we to get it? To look at his word and be obedient unto it. It's a spiritual blessing to have our sins forgiven us. How many of us have not sinned? How many of us have not sinned? The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you have sinned? Do you believe that not only have you sinned, but the wages of sin is death? You're going to die, and then you're going to understand, since you was away from God, that you're going to be in a place of torment. You're going to be in a place outside of Christ where you're not with him. You're separated away from him. But we have to look at this spiritual blessing here, that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Christ, it washes away sins. Just like those muddy clothes need to be washed, we too, some of us needed to be washed, and some of us need to be washed. Which category do you fall in? Needing to be, or you have been washed? Which category? It's a spiritual blessing to be washed. See, it's not seen so much on the outside as we know about what's on the inside, because that's where God is looking. Is your mind right with God? Or are you thinking the way he thinks? I know his thoughts are not our thoughts, nor his ways our ways, because his ways are much higher than ours, the Bible tells us. But you can think like him. You can have the mind of him. You can do the things that are right. Understand, again, redemption and forgiveness of sins are in Christ. They're in Christ. There's no condemnation, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. There's no condemnation. When we think about this, being there's no condemnation that we can live for him because he has lived for us. Jesus lived and died for you and I. Amen. Father sent him in order that we might live. The Father sacrificed him that we may live. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of the life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. No condemnation. No one can say that you are living wrong if you're living for Christ. No one. The reason they would say that you're wrong is because they don't like what you're doing. Keep on doing it. If you have scripture to do it, keep on doing it. And everything will be all right in the end if you just keep on keeping on. And that is what we need to understand when we talk about nothing like having benefits in Christ. Nothing. If you can tell me anything better, please tell it to me. Please tell it to me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This new creature.
You know, there's a lot of things that we have had in our lives that are new, and there's a lot of things that we have that are new. And how many of you don't like new? You know, somebody try to give you something that's old, what are you going to tell them? I don't want that old thing. But you know what? It's new to you. It's new to you. I go back to my brother. My brother got out of the penitentiary back in 1985, I believe it was. I had a 74 Nova and I had an 85 Cutlass, Cutlass Supreme. And he said, let me drive your car. And quickly, I give him the keys to the Nova. He said, no, I don't want that car. I want to drive the Cutlass. I said, man, you have to crawl before you can walk. He didn't want to hear that. He wanted the 85 Cutlass. That wasn't happening. I gave him the 74 Nova, and you know what he did with it later on? He sold it. Just think, if I had gave him the keys to my Cutlass, where would I be? You know that old saying, the quickest way to get back on your feet is to miss a car payment. The quickest way for me to get back on my feet at that time would have been to give him my keys to my Cutlass Supreme there, Gary. I have no problem with you using something of mine, but don't think I'm going to give it to you like that. We have to crawl before we walk. But a new creature in Christ. We have to hear the word of God, and we have to believe the word of God, and we have to do the things that God are pleased with in order to benefit from being in Christ, the spiritual blessing here, to be a new creature. I'm a different person. Have anybody ever told you that? You're not the same person that you used to be? And you say, you're very well right, I'm not. Why? Because I have Christ in my life. I'm living a different life. I'm acting a different way. I am a new person. I am. Well, what makes you feel good about who you are? When you look at your life, you look at your past life, and you say, or your past, and you say, I'm not doing those things anymore, and I feel good about it. Well, just feeling good about it isn't good enough. You actually have to do something. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and the verse is 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The new has come. How many of you feel like you're new? When you became a child of God, how many of you felt like you were new? How many of you rejoiced before you became a child of God? Or how many of you did as the eunuch did in Acts chapter 8 and rejoiced after you became a child of God? See, there's no need to rejoice before. You know, we go out and we fill out a job application, and we feel good about that job application. We feel good about getting that job or with the hope of having that job. But you don't celebrate until they call you and they say, hey, you have the job. Time to celebrate then. You know, there are some people that, even when they call them and say, you have the job, they still scratch their head and they wonder, am I going to be able to pass every test in order to get that job? And there are some tests out there, Brother DeMille, that some people can't pass because of the life in which they are living. Not the life that they lived, but the life that they're living. They can't pass the test in order to get the job. So when do you rejoice? You rejoice once you get the job, and especially if they have those great benefits. We rejoice by becoming a child of God because there are benefits in being a child of God. And we need to know that these benefits are out of this world. They're out of this world. In heavenly places, the Bible teaches us. Salvation. And 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Salvation. You know, a lot of people are looking for salvation, but they're looking in the wrong places. They're looking the wrong way. Salvation, again, is in Christ. In Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the verse is 10. Actually, start with verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory, that they may obtain the salvation that's in Christ Jesus. How many have put Christ on
and said, I did this just to be doing it. I did this just to make you feel good. I did this because this is what mama wanted me to do, because daddy wanted me to do it, grandpa, whoever wanted you to do it, and you did it. If that's the case, you did it for the wrong reason. Why do we work? We work because we need to eat. We work because we want a place to sleep. We work because there's benefits from working. And one of the benefits that we find in Scripture from working is that we may be able to help the next man. And not just you are benefiting, but someone else is benefiting as well. But when we hear the word of God and we accept what God's word says and we put Christ on, it's to benefit us. That person that has put Christ on. You don't put him on in order for someone else to be saved. You put him on in order for you to be saved. That's what we do. We hear the word of God. See, you cannot baptize a baby and think that baby has done this in order to obtain salvation. Because the one that has no sin needs no saving. Needs no saving. A baby is not born with sin. Ezekiel 18 teaches us that. The soul that sins is the one that dies. A baby has not sinned, so therefore a baby is still living. We separate ourselves, according to Isaiah 59, when we sin. The children of Israel separate themselves away from God because of sin. The same thing happens today. We separate ourselves away from God because of sin. We need salvation. We need to hear the word of God, and we need to believe the word of God, and we need to repent of what we have done, have a change of mind. We need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we need to have our sins remitted in the watery grave of baptism, where we come in contact with the blood. And then we rise to walk a newness of life, according to Romans chapter 6. To walk a newness of life. You know, you may be doing some things good right now, but what is it really benefiting you if you do not have Christ? It's just to say that you've done some good things. And we have a lot of people like that are doing good things, but yet they're outside of Christ. You go to Ford, okay? But Brother Roland, what shift do you work? Day shift. Can I come in there and work side by side with you? Or let me rephrase that. I don't even want to do it. There are times where there's take your child to work day. And you take your child. You don't have any children, right? Thank you. All right. And you take your child to work with you. So we're not talking to Brother Roland anymore. We're talking to some of y'all that have children. You take them to work with you. You think the man is going to pay you 16 hours for that 8-hour day just because you brought your child with you? No. You have your child run to the copier, make copies. You have your child empty the trash. You have your child answer the phone. You know what that man is saying? Thank you. Thank you. You know what your child is saying at the end of the day? Oh, mom and dad, I'm glad I went to work with you. But you know what they're not saying? Some of them anyway, Brother Mark. They're not saying, pay me. They're not saying that. Why? Because they know that it was an experience for them. It was a thrill to them to get to go to work with you. And you understand that you're still only going to get paid 8 hours. You're going to get paid 8 hours. So all the good things that you're doing outside of Christ, keep doing those things, but it's not benefiting you in Christ. It's not benefiting you not one bit. Cornelius, he was doing some good things, was he not? But he wasn't doing them according to being in Christ. So he had to get in Christ in order to reap the benefits of doing good things. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven, according to Matthew chapter 5 in the verses 16. Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? If you're not in Christ, I would suggest that you really think about your life. I would suggest that you really buckle down and say, you know, all these things that I'm doing, why am I doing them? Why am I doing them? And if you cannot answer that question, then you need to just quit doing them. What am I, you know, the parents would say sometimes, what am I working for? I don't have anything to look yet. I don't have anything to show for it. Why am I working? Well, you have to go back and think about all the money that you have spent when you got your check. You're working in order to enjoy those things out there in the world, and you have nothing really to show for it because you didn't buy anything. You just threw your money away. Time to party. Let's party. Let's have a good time. Then you wake up the next morning wondering, where is all my money? No benefit in it, is it? No. All you have now is a headache. You have some things that you did not think that you would have, but now you have them. We need to think about what we're doing and understand that outside of Christ, there are no benefits. But really, what are we as Christians? What are we living for? We're looking for that hope of eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. We're looking forward to it. To that day we can hear, enter in, my good and faithful servant, and not those dreadful words, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I knew you not. 1 John chapter 5 and the verse is 11. 1 John 5:11. And this is the testimony that God gave us, gave as eternal life. And this is life, and this life is in his Son. Eternal life. We're living right now, but we have something to look forward to. A place where we can go where we don't never have to worry about dying again. Why do we say that? Because the man that has died in his sins, just we have died, just as some have died and will die, living righteously, there's going to be a resurrection of the good and the bad. And the bad are going to be resurrected in order to be judged and to suffer a second death and thrown into the lake of fire. But those that have been resurrected, that have done good to the resurrection of life, you never have to worry about dying again. Eternal life in heaven. That's what we're looking for. A benefit that you can only get in Christ. I'm not talking to those that was in the Old Testament, Brother Mark, because they're not here. But the blood went back and washed them as well. Amen. Those that lived righteous before God, they too will be in heaven on that great day. How are you living your life? Are you doing the things that God is pleased with? If not, why not? If it's time to make a change, make that change. And when is the time? The time is now, for tomorrow is not promised to us. Your life is but a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanished away. Let's get our lives right with God. If you're here and you're not one of his children, we ask that you come to make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be immersed in a watery grave for the forgiveness of sins. Maybe you're here and you're falling short. You're falling short and have not got that right with God. Get it right with him. For the time is coming where you will give an account of everything done in this body, whether good or whether bad. If you're hearing your subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.